during my service in the United States Congress. I took the initiative in creating the internet.
Here we go. Welcome to show number 5 of Random Inspirations. Thank you once again for joining us. And if this is your first time, I'll introduce my co-hosts. I am Chris Armstrong. I'm co-host number 3. Also joining me, returning, is co-host number 1, EJ Hayes.
Hello.
And the returning champ, co-host number 2, Dave Bond.
Yes. Why am I the champ?
You won the pick'em last time.
Okay. That's a good reason.
So you're the returning champ.
Gotcha.
This is a special Sunday edition of Random Inspirations, which doesn't matter to you, but we're recording on Sunday. And so starting off, we'll get into our top story. Mike Gundy, coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys, our beloved Cowboys, goes postal on a reporter from the Daily Oklahoman. If you haven't seen the video, we'll have a link to it on the website, solidroots.com. It is ridiculous.
This was, what, following the Texas Tech win on Saturday?
It is.
And right.
It was a huge win for the Cowboys. Come from behind, they hold on in basically a shootout, and Gundy does not take one question about the game. In fact, he doesn't even take a question at all. He walks in, goes postal, walks out. What do you guys think about this?
Me?
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job I noticed one person who commented on the Oklahoman story that initiated it all pointed out that he did a really good job of standing up for his player, Bobby Reed. And should we explain kind of what the article said that he responded to, Chris?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, it just kind of questioned Bobby Reed's commitment, attitude to being quarterback, and kind of saying that's why he's not the starting quarterback right now, and Zach Robinson is, and basically saying Bobby Reed's a wuss who lets his mom feed chicken to him on the team bus. And that's why he's not playing well, and why he got benched for 2 games in a row. And then Mike Gundy pretty much, he walked into the press conference holding up the article, making sure everyone got a good look at it, and just ripped into Jenny Carlson to her face in front of everyone. And then he got applauded after he walked out.
He got a standing O.
Which makes me think most of those people don't like Jenny Carlson either. Maybe I'm wrong, but, and I'm not saying I don't like Jenny Carlson, but
I'll say
apparently
it.
They don't. You'll say it?
I don't like the Daily Oklahoman.
Okay.
But that's my personal opinion.
Do you like Jenny Carlson?
I'm not a real big fan of hers. I think she's following the footsteps of Barry Trammell too much.
How so?
When I was reading the Oklahoman, it seemed like, of course, Trammell has his own style and everything, and it seems like, I remember when Jenny first came on to the staff. I remember, seeing her for the first time. And it just seems like she tried to, take after his style a lot. And I just didn't like that. But
what is his style?
I don't know. He's very stupid.
Retarded. Stupid.
Smarmy.
Yeah. He has... Smarmy, I'm not exactly sure what that means, but it sounds like a good word.
Okay.
I'm going to say he kind of has a I'm better than you type attitude. Is that what smarmy means?
Thanks. Yeah, that works.
Okay.
So now that we know about what the article is about a little bit, basically she, and we'll have a link to that on the
the article itself.
So you can read the article first, then watch the press conference. Basically, it's a full page, front page on the sports section, and it's got a huge picture of an ambiguous picture of Bobby Reed talking to a lineman, and it says quarterback change, all about attitude, which that evidently has no truth in it, which it describes why Gundy went off on her, because they're not putting anything in about the game. They're putting stuff on the front page, an opinion article by a chick who has no factual basis on what she's writing, other than she saw his mother feeding him some chicken. So he thought, or she thought, I should say, that he's some sort of little baby, or he has, you know, I don't know what she's thinking at all. But Gundy is looking at this situation and saying, all these Houston players, where he's from, where he's considered a Greek god, by the way, Bobby Reed.
Bobby Reed is?
Oh, big time. Bobby Reed is considered by some as the quarterback on the best offense in Texas State football history. That's what Bobby Reed is. There's been a book written about him. He was like one or two in the country that year. I believe he was an EA Sports Elite 11 quarterback or something to that effect. So he was highly touted quarterback. And they say he's the most highly touted recruit OSU's ever had. Now we're benching him in his prime, his junior year, after he had a good year last year. And that Jenny's trying to spin it into something about his attitude being bad, which has nothing to do with it. And his, you know, lack of producing points has everything to do with about. So now you said you, Dave, you had said that you had talked to someone who had inside access to information from OSU, from the athletics department, that said that actually may be true, that he was an attitude problem.
Yeah.
Now, what exactly did they say? Was this just in conversation, or was this actually a true event? I mean, what did the person say?
Just that, from what they understood, the feeling was that he didn't really have the, what, when they say attitude, like the attitude, the, like when he gets hit, he doesn't want to get hit. He's afraid of getting hurt. He's wussing out, basically.
Huh. That's interesting, because, I mean, I played football and I never wanted to get hit. I never strayed away from it, which right. I don't think Bobby does that. I can't see how someone from the athletic department could know what Bobby was thinking unless Bobby told them. You know what I mean?
So, well, I think they were just conveying a feeling that they thought was, you know, people talk and express their opinions within an entity. In this case, the entity is the OSU Athletic Department football program.
Yeah, there's been a lot said about Bobby Reed and why he's sucking right now. And
well, kind of like one example was that originally Zach Robinson's been playing quarterback full time since the second quarter of the Florida Atlantic game, right? Because yes. Bobby Reed supposedly got hurt. Right.
Yes.
And apparently, from what I was told, he got a little banged up, but he could have gone back in.
Yeah.
He didn't want to.
See, I don't.
It sounded crazy to me.
If that's
but,
true, then he doesn't need to play at all. But
well,
I can't hardly believe it. You know what I mean?
I can't believe that
guy didn't want to go back in.
He hasn't played.
Because he was playing terrible, and Zachary came in and
I think what,
or Zach Robinson came in. And
I think what Jenny Carlson and what these other people are saying is he's playing terrible because his heart's not in it. It's an attitude problem. It's not a talent problem. He's clearly more talented than Zach Robinson, wouldn't you say?
In some ways, he's got a stronger arm. Other than that, not really. He makes talented as in decision making. Zach Robinson makes better decisions, and he runs better, in my opinion.
But Chris, what do you think? What do you think?
I think when Bobby's on, Bobby is probably, based on the last two games that Zach started, they both pass about the same. Zach has had some really...
You think Zach is as good a passer?
No, well, what I'm saying Absolutely. Is they both had some kind of low moment. Zach has underthrown several people the last two games that he's been in, and that's what Bobby did the first two games he was in, too. He underthrew people.
Bobby has done a great job of like learning the game and starting to throw it away. I question, is he doing it too much? And here lately, he hasn't run nearly as well as Zach has run. Here, like in the last half of last season and the first part of this season, I would agree that Bobby probably has a stronger arm. But that's probably as far as I can go with it. Okay. I think they're both very talented athletes. And
what was Zach Robinson's background? Where did he come from?
Chris, do you know?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know either. Kind of back to where I was saying about the whole Houston area, Texas people, you know. From what I heard, it was actually Bobby Reed's mom that brought Gundy the paper and said, "What's going on with
Bobby's
this?
Mom?" I
mean, that's what it sounded like in that press conference.
So, you know, she's looking at her son, and he's not playing. He's not doing well, but he's not, you know, he's not messing around. He's not a thug. He's not whatever. And, you know, this is getting national media going here, probably because of the way Gundy went off. But it's on the front page of the Daily Oklahoman saying quarterback change all about attitude. There's no question mark after it. There's no opinion about it. It's the front page. And basically, it's Jenny Carlson's opinion, and it doesn't state that in anywhere. You know what I mean?
I agree. They did a poor job
It's pointed as a true event, but it's not true at all. And I don't see how you can, you know, journalistically present something that's not true and not say that, you know, in somewhere in the article that this is my opinion.
They should have done a better job of clarifying that it was an editorial piece. Yeah, I think so. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Gundy's looking at this and saying, all these recruits are looking at this and saying, you know, Greek God Bobby can't start on this football team. There's something going wrong. You know what I mean? So he's
with the team or with Bobby Reed?
Well, with the coaching staff. So, oh. Yeah, so that's the way Gundy's looking at it. He's basically saying that this article is hurting me, and he never said this, but this is my opinion. He's looking at this and saying, this article is hurting me in recruiting of good athletes because when they come here, they get crap written about them just because they're not playing well. They have a bad game or something. They decided to get benched. Somehow, because he got benched, his attitude's a problem. You know, yeah, everybody can talk. Everybody, you know, all the boards, all the forums can say, you know, he's this and he's that. But the coaches and the people hanging around him every day are the only ones that know really what's going on with him.
I bet Charlie Weiss would see this and think, spend the day in my shoes, buddy. just an hour, really.
Especially
just an
on
hour.
Saturdays. I think...
Oh yeah.
I'll take Bobby Reed.
I take Mike Gundy's job over Charlie Weiss's job.
I think that was the thing about the whole article thing, though, was that Gundy was going off because Bobby Reed is a good kid. He goes to class exactly like Gundy said. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. He's not out there stealing gasoline from a Norman gas station. He's not out there, you know, going into bars underage. He takes care of business now, and he's had a few bad games, so we decide to pull him. And you're going to come in here and say that he's a wuss, you know, that he can't hack it. It has nothing to do with it.
You know? He's not playing well, so they put the backup in, and he is doing
and
well.
I really think that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I mean,
it just kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah, if she would have written a article about an OU player even resembling anything close to that, she would have not. Well, it wouldn't have been printed ever. I mean, that's just how it is. There's no negative opinion articles, you know. And if it is a negative thing, it's because it's in the AP. And they copied it to their paper based on Dvoracek beating somebody up or Bomar getting a job who didn't, you know, paid him but didn't go to work, you know, all of the above. You know, when they're printed in the AP, that's the only time the Oklahoman will run a negative article about OU.
So you're saying since the Oklahoman basically paid for the OU's football field and the OU College of Journalism that they're kind of biased?
It could be.
And if he won't say it, I'll say it.
Yes.
But it's horrible. I mean, I'm not saying that OSU doesn't have its issues, and especially like its character flaws and everything, but I would rather have a Bobby Reed whose heart is not in it than a Dusty Dvorak who goes out and gets drunk all the time and like starts beating people up, or a Ryan Broyles who goes and steals gasoline. I mean,
well, the thing about it is those people wouldn't be on OSU's team because Gundy would kick them off.
He already kicked the ball off.
That's right.
Yeah, he kicked off, like, what, 8 guys his first day?
But Carlson goes after Bobby Reed, who claims whose heart is not in the game, rather than going after these other guys who, like, jack up in life.
Exactly. That's Gundy's point. Yeah. And, you know, Gundy's a coach, so he's used to raising his voice. And I think he was upset, but he was never out of control. Because if you notice, once he gets worked up, he would come back down and think about what he was saying like a normal coach would do. Coaches aren't screaming at you out of anger unless you do something crazy bad. But it was a controlled, get your attention, you know, aggressive speech. It wasn't an out of control speech. When you get out of control, you start saying crazy things. And he didn't say many crazy things. He just said it in a way that was getting his point across, that he was very stern about them writing bullcrap about good players.
And I'll be the first to admit, Bobby didn't play well the first 2 games of the season, even against Florida Atlantic. I mean, we killed him, but it's Florida Atlantic. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's not the issue about him not playing.
Right.
Yeah.
If it's time for a quarterback change, let's make a change. But let's not like go after these guys that do well in life and just, you know, are struggling on the field.
Yeah, go after his play. Go say he's not making passes. That's very true. Don't go after him as a person. You know what I mean?
And say he has to be spoon-fed and coddled and, you know, babied. Come on. And if that's true, then, you know, then yeah, go say that. But it's hard for me to believe that she knows that when there are guys that work the OSU beat that haven't said that.
Yeah.
Anyway. Dave, do you have an opinion?
I was just reading the stuff that Mike Leach said after the game.
Oh, he was livid too, but for a different reason.
But about his own team, I guess.
Right. And man, you know, and if we want to talk about the game, you know, it was a 45-49. Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if OSU can take credit for the win, other than maybe tipping a pass in the end zone that Crabtree could have caught anyway.
Did we tip it? Did OSU tip it? I thought he just didn't catch it.
What I heard was on the radio after the game was that he just got in the line of sight and Crabtree was surprised that it was there. It was one of those things that like Crabtree thought he was going to tip it, so he was ready for something else to happen, and it came right through. What I also heard was that we knocked it off just enough to where it wasn't where he expected it to be. But it was still catchable. It still hit him on the shoulder pads.
Yeah, I thought he'd scored a touchdown for sure.
Yeah, but even before that, all Tech has to do is run out the game. I mean,
yeah,
run out
why
the
would
clock.
You pass?
They're up 3. They pass 3 straight downs.
They're
so,
idiots.
I mean, blame it on Leach.
It's Leach's fault, absolutely. But OSU still scored all those points. So,
right.
Yeah, it's
OSU scored
OSU.
All those, right. Yeah, OSU scored the points.
I would
Leach
never
made some bad calls.
Take that away from OSU saying that Texas Tech won the game for OSU. No, OSU won the game.
No, but they gave us they gave us all the chances we needed, you know.
Yep.
Offense did a good job. I mean, they finally stepped up. Brandon Pettigrew sealed the deal with that amazing catch and run. We had 3 rushers over 100 yards, including Zach Robinson, which was the first time that's ever happened in Oklahoma State history. And the passing game was
mostly on. I would probably give it a B minus or so, just because Zach underthrew several people.
Yeah.
And there were a couple drops, but for the most, and actually he overthrew a lot of people too, but I don't, overthrowing people doesn't bother me as much, especially when Tech is the deep defender. If you watch some replays of the game and you'd actually have to go to the game tape, Tech was actually smothering our deep men, and I would rather him overthrow it where nobody can catch it than him try and place it perfectly and, you know, get picked off. So, that's my opinion.
All right. Next topic.
We still got lots of football stuff.
Gundy fiasco.
Yeah. To read or not to read?
I don't read much.
And Bobby Oklahoma Reed. State isn't reading much either.
Oh.
Well, let's get into a special segment we have. Our very own Dave Bond, Moonlight, an Oklahoma City magazine. And he recently had the honor.
Not the Oklahoman.
It's not the Oklahoman. It's a magazine. He recently.
Is it a magazine?
I don't know. I've never read it.
I think it's technically a newspaper. Sorry. It's just in the tabloid, printed in a tabloid style.
Anyway.
With cool pictures
works,
and all.
He moonlights cool for an Oklahoma-based printing. That doesn't even sound right either.
Publication.
There you go. Print publication.
Yeah.
And he recently had the honor, privilege, and guts to interview Al Green. That's right, the Al Green. Green. And we're gonna
give me a couple of well known songs from Al Green.
Let's Stay Together. Tired of Being Alone. Still in Love with You.
Can you sing one of those?
The original "Take Me to the River" that the Talking Heads did later.
Oh, great song.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one that the little bass that's mounted on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
His head comes out.
The Big Mouth Billy Bass or whatever.
Yeah, Big Bubba Mouth Bass. Same
song. I wonder
song.
How much
Al
money
Green.
He made on that. You should have asked him that.
That yeah, that was a good question. I wonder if he did make money off that. Probably. At least a little.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, do you want to intro this? We're going to play parts of that for you, but...
Well, it was... the Reverend Al Green is his official title, I guess. He played a show at the Riverwind Casino in Norman Friday night, and this was a preview story for that that I did, and got to talk to him for about 17 minutes, and it was a thrill, really, just because it's Al Green, you know. And the show was pretty good. He put on a good show, even though he's, you know, if you want to call it his heyday, was back in the 1970s. He still did pretty well, but I think the interview might have even been more fun than the show, if that's possible. Just because he's, you know, at one point he goes, he's in this rant about something, and he goes, like paying tuition. Paying tuition. Hello? Hello? And then I realized he realized I was kind of a young guy who's probably still making tuition payments, and he wanted me to testify. Just stuff like that. Just every once in a while he'd let out a, hey, come on, man. Yeah.
I mean, seriously, do they make people that cool nowadays? I mean, he's just cool.
I don't know.
There's nobody that cool
nowadays. Kanye West thinks he's that cool.
He's not.
Okay.
He wears some ridiculous glasses. That
you don't like his glasses?
I don't approve of his sunglass taste.
Well, there you go. But I don't think Al Green wears sunglasses.
Yeah, because he's cool. Because
he doesn't need them.
Well, we're gonna play either part or all of that interview right now, so let's get into that. This is Dave Bond interviewing Al Green.
Thank you so much for taking the time to visit with me.
What's good?
I'm doing this story for the Oklahoma Gazette, a newspaper here in Oklahoma. were in the Oklahoma City area and what memories about Oklahoma stick out for you?
Well, I did talk to Oklahoma last year.
Okay.
And the crowd is downright rowdy.
Yeah?
Yeah. And they downright, they listen. You know how Oklahoma is. They like to get out in the aisle and party with you.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm gonna be out there.
I'm in health and love and happiness, and let's stay together, and I'm feeling love and all that stuff. Man, the people got out there. Well, what started, an old Jewish couple got out there and went to dancing. Him and his wife told it off, so go ahead, we can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah. Is that what you like to see?
Yeah, I kind of like to see the people going on, let their hair down and have a good time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me how the new album is coming. When's it due out?
I got one more song to cut, Dave. Is it Dave, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I got one more song to cut, and I think I'm going to cut it with Justin Timberlake, I believe.
Oh, really? I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, and,
what do you think about him?
Well, yeah, we'll be through with it. We'll be through with it, yeah. They already doing the horns while it's not in California.
So that's the scoop. He's going to be on there.
Yeah, Kareem Bailey Ray is on there.
Okay.
And Anthony Hamilton is on there. And the Right Reverend Al is on there.
Yeah.
And he's playing love songs.
Okay. Is it a duet album or are you just having some guests?
It's like duets. We're sharing songs and verses and stuff and singing together and all that, and it's kind of like mix it up.
Okay. Questlove from The Roots is producing, and The Roots are playing the music, right?
Right.
How do you like working with them?
Well, they produced the album. Me and all the guys and James, all the guys, they're fantastic.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
How is that different from working with Willie Mitchell, whom you worked with for so long?
That's different because Willie called me and said that there's anything you want in a sound, in a type of mix or what have you, or anything they may want to know, I'm at the other end of the phone, you can call me.
Really?
And I thought that was pretty nice on his part, yeah.
So he's been helping some?
Yep.
Okay. What do you think about Justin Timberlake? Do you like him? Is he good?
Yep.
Yeah?
He's got enough style of his own to be Justin, and he's doing Justin, and that's good. I mean, he couldn't do nobody else but Justin. I think he's an excellent artist.
Okay. You said this album is going to have a hip-hop feel, but no rapping. How is that different for you? What's that change like?
Well, that music is like a little bit, for the layman term, friskier.
Friskier?
A little bit friskier, yeah. A little bit, the changes are kind of a little more different places, you know, a little more quicker. The times are a little quicker, but still, you want me to sing like Al, so I still keep singing like Al and keep up with the change.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
In your opinion, what's the current state of soul music right now, and who are some young people you think are good artists?
That's hard now. The current state of soul is where it was from the beginning. Soul ain't going this place. Soul music is going to be around when I die, you die, and your folks die, and mine do.
Okay.
So soul music itself ain't going this place. Some soul artists that I think are soulful now is many. There's so many of them I can't mention. Neither do they allow me to mention name verbatim by name.
Oh, they don't?
No, they now because they say it's like choosing or picking one over the other, and so they don't want to do that. But still, there's a lot of soul artists that's on the new vibe, and I think it can't be nothing but grow. You've already got the nucleus of the edge.
Yeah.
With Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Chris Redding.
Yeah.
Ray Charles.
Yeah.
James Brown.
Yeah.
Aretha Franklin. All these people, that was the Motown era, the Stax era. That was the nucleus right there.
Yeah.
All the other stuff, the other people come out with, and I'm agreeing with the state. You got the state already.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What do you think of hip-hop? Do you listen to any rap or hip-hop?
I'm trying to keep my hip from hopping.
You're trying to what?
I'm trying to keep my hip from hopping.
Okay.
I mean, I think hip-hop is fine, man. I don't have nothing against it. I just think that the best soul, the best of the best, I mean, when you cut out the best of the best, and soul music, if you don't have it with the people I mentioned to you, Sam Cooke and Ray Charles and Otis Redding, and if you don't have it with those people, Jackie Wilson, Luther Vandross, all these people, if you don't have it with those people, I think you're going to be missing it.
So that's where you got to start.
That's where the home cooking is, buddy.
Okay. What do you think about the digital stuff going on in the music industry? What effect does that have?
Well, I don't think it's nothing but a quicker way to cut a record, that's all.
Okay.
We use tape, now they use numbers.
Okay.
It's all about a bunch of numbers in digital. They don't care about the music. It's just put all these numbers together and you got that thing together.
Okay.
If you coordinate the numbers in the right place, you got to let it together. But I mean, musically, we play the music right on the flow, unrehearsed. We were rehearsing while we was making a record.
Okay.
That's what the good thing about our music is. We didn't get it down pat first and learn it real good first and then say, okay, let's go cut it. No, we had the tape machine going on while the rehearsal was going on.
You're talking about this one you've just been doing?
Sam, he took the rehearsal tape and used it for the master instead of the cotton picking tape that we cut for the master.
This album you're working on now?
No, I'm talking about the song that Willie cut.
Okay.
And the album that I'm working on now just had the same type of flavor that the first Willie Mitchell album had, yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those K.A. albums.
It's one of those what?
K.A.
K.A.?
K.A. A, like A.B.C. A.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a K.A. album.
Is there a signature Al Green sound? What is it?
Oh, that's Willie Mitchell, ma'am. I don't know what to do to get that sound. That's Willie Mitchell and the people that in touch with him to try to for him to tell them what the actual logistics of the Al Green's voice is and where his voice ranges are and what the best voice range you're going to get with these type of, sounds and voltage and wattage and, these type of, they put so much trauma to the ear that so much ear can stand, and then his vocal is going to be between here and here. Now, but what is the sound? I really don't know.
You just know he did it.
I know it's the sound like, I know that nobody else has it. I know that.
Okay. A lot of people have described your last couple albums as kind of a comeback for you. Do you think you're in the middle of a comeback in your career, or what would you call it?
I call it
caller, what?
I never went nowhere.
Okay, okay.
I came back from nowhere. Hell, I ain't went nowhere. I've been sitting right here in California looking at the hay fields out here. I'm at a casino, at the Gold Country Casino out here, and I'm looking at all these people coming in here. And we already sold out. I don't know what them big people talking about. Come back. I don't know. Come back when? I don't know if I don't come back. I know something about it. Where we've gone from Madrid, Spain, to London, England, to Paris. We've been sold out. Now, these comeback folks, I don't know what that means. But whatever it means, that might mean something to them. I don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. You've mixed it up between gospel music and more secular music throughout your career. How do you balance that? What's the balance?
I balance it by having Let's Stay Together. And on the end of Let's Stay Together is My God Is Real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I'm Still in Love With You. The song that's on there is Jesus Is Waiting.
That's one of my favorites.
Right. And then on the other album, Call Me, you have another gospel song. Always on the end of his album, he always got a gospel song on the end of the album. That's always been the trend since I started in 1970. That's been 37 years ago.
Right.
And I'm not going to stop now.
Okay. A little bit sadder note. You've cited both Wilson Pickett and James Brown as being big inspirations to you, and they both unfortunately passed away in the last year or so. Did you know them well, and what was that like to see them go?
I didn't know either person well, and I don't know what was it like to see them go because I don't know who I'm talking about.
Okay.
I don't know the real aspect of the person I'm talking about. So I really don't know them. I don't know Mr. Brown. I don't know Mr. Pickett. I was with Mr. Pickett two times in my life. Once at the Apollo and another overseas. And that was the only time I ever got to even see Mr. Pickett. So I really don't know them, and I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that is.
Okay. What do you think your legacy will be?
Legacy, that's like, your remains, legacy and all that stuff. I really don't know. I think the songs we've made is the biggest legacy that I could. Talking about leaving, but hell, my ideas, I ain't going no damn well.
Yeah.
Hell no.
Okay.
I ain't going nowhere. I might be invisible, but I ain't going nowhere.
Hell no.
And I think no is bad enough, but hell no, what do you want? Please excuse me, man, but I'm just a real person. I mean, I'm not going to talk to you. Hi, Mr. Dave, how you doing? And talking all this fake crap when I know that's not the way I am. I got to be myself.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I can't be nobody else. People like me fine. They don't like me fine.
Okay.
I don't have no problem with this.
Do you consider yourself an artist, or how would you describe what you do?
I describe what I do by God sent us to do this here. We preach the message and carry the message of love and happiness, peace and love and joy, and let's stay together, and I'm still in love with you, and after 40 years. And you're in the game with you, and got fat news down here, but I ain't looking at that. I fell in love with you, not your weight. So, I mean, we carry the message of peace and love and family and children and school and paying tuition. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Paying tuition.
I hear you. We're still doing that.
Last month, that, man. You know, I have to go to Walmart, like everybody else.
Do you?
I had to find a parking space like everybody else, and I got to walk some soldiers like everybody else.
In Memphis?
Yeah, in Memphis, yeah. They don't give me no special treatment like I'm Al Green in Memphis.
They don't?
They treat me just like I'm just another fella.
Really? They tell you to park in the back of the lot?
In the back and go sit in the back of the bus. You don't even want to walk off of
this is a little something, mix it up a little bit. Do you have an iPod or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm holding one, talking to one now. I'm talking with you on one and on a BlackBerry, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you getting a lot of technology stuff?
Yeah, I gotta go, though.
You gotta go?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, I will be there next Friday to see you, and thank you so much for talking with me.
All right, baby. Take care of yourself.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got to go, though.
That's the best cutoff ever. Well, I got to go. You do? Yeah, bye. Click.
Yeah, bye. That's great.
Oh, man. He's so cool.
Oh, Dave, great interview with Al there.
Thank you.
Thanks for letting us play that.
It's especially kind of awkward now because... here in the studio, we didn't actually just listen to the interview like you, the listener, did. So it's kind of awkward.
But we want you to think we did.
We're all thinking of what he said.
Yeah, we've all listened to it before. I probably just gave away a trade secret.
I'll probably cut that out.
Okay.
Because, Dave, you can't talk about trade secrets. This is a professional show, Dave.
That's true.
You can't be random and professional at the same time.
Even though it goes with the title of the whole freaking show.
It's just a bruise, though.
Okay. It's all a ruse.
I'm leaving all that in. All of it.
But now, are we going into our... Are we talking more about Al Green, or are we going into our next segment?
Well, how cool was he, Dave?
He's pretty dang cool. He was. It was a lot of fun to talk to him. You know, I wasn't really sure what to expect. I guess I probably should have expected just what it was. And then to see him perform in person.
Did you get to talk to him in person?
No.
Okay.
But we went and saw the show. And Marcia, who had listened to it also, my interview, said, "It's just like he was on the phone." it was. He was just hamming it up and just having fun, just like he was. I guess he does it all the time. I don't know.
So he's real.
He appears to be real.
What you see is what you get.
Which he actually mentions that in the...
Yes, he does say at one point, I'm just a real person. I go to Walmart and drive myself.
Has to park in the back.
Park in the back, sit on the back of the bus. It's pretty funny. Pretty funny stuff.
It's one of those things I'll ever forget. You can grow up to be that cool.
Yeah. We're on our way. We're on our way.
You are, Dave. I don't know about EJ or me.
No kidding.
Well, it's all inside. As it's Bobby Reed
in his soul.
I'm sorry. It's not very nice. Or Jenny Carlson could tell you that.
Jenny's
going to
write it.
Jenny's actually got the inside track
on
Bobby's heart.
That's right.
Maybe she likes Bobby. Maybe they had a candlelight dinner and
maybe she's.
He explained this to her.
She's jaded, maybe.
And then she went and wrote it in the Oklahoman.
He jaded her.
What a chump. Jaded.
Well,
and that is our official word of this podcast.
If that's true,
jaded.
Way to go, Bobby.
I think we're getting pretty random now. I think we might be held for libel at this point.
But that's just my opinion, just so everybody knows. Yeah, that's not fact.
All
opinions. That's strictly opinion.
That's strictly hearsay.
Let's hope... Bobby Reed, Jenny Carlson,
I'm
Mike
sorry,
Gundy,
Gundy.
And
Don't
Al Green never hear this.
Yeah.
I'm going to send it all to him. That's
right. We can at least find Jenny Carlson's email online.
Oh, yeah.
She might write stuff about us. And I don't have a Gundy to take care of me.
No, we'd have to take care. We'd get Shelby to do it or
You know what?
Yeah.
That would be the greatest press, though.
That's true.
I mean, nobody Maybe knows us about, nobody knows about us right now.
Everyone would know. Well, probably not everyone. I think maybe we should move on.
Never.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on to a random segment.
Inconceivable!
As the show is aptly named.
A pick'em of another sort.
No, we're not going to do that just yet.
Oh, okay.
We're going to end with that.
Okay, sorry.
That's all right. We're going to do just some random stuff we found either on the internet or just out in our real lives, which we do have. Or at least I do. I don't know about you guys.
Huh. Well.
No? I take the silence.
Is that one of those random facts about Chuck Norris?
Here and now, a random fact about Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris met with the Teenage Drug and Alcohol Awareness... gosh, dang it.
Take two.
Take two. And now a random fact about Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris met with a teenage drug and alcohol awareness diversion group last week. There were no survivors.
I lost any humorous impact it might have had.
Oh, man.
Chris, would this segment be a good spot for me to insert my research about Google?
Yeah, go for it.
What are you doing?
I found Chuck Norris a picture of a black muscle bodybuilder with Chuck Norris's head on it. And it's a pretty good picture.
That'll be on the website, solidroots.com.
And then one of him kicking
a wolf.
There's so many good Chuck Norris facts. I'm sorry. Chuck Norris does not sleep. Website. He waits. Okay. He has two speeds, walk and kill. There are three leading causes of death in the United States, heart disease, Chuck Norris, and cancer.
That's awful.
In that order?
In that order, he's number two. He doesn't go hunting, he goes killing. All right, that's it.
I think we've taken this show to
I think, yeah.
Life.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our last segment.
As I said before, it's kind of a pick'em of another sort, maybe, a personal pick'em. Just kind of talking about what we've been listening to lately. Is that right?
That's right.
Just, you know, be it music or ambient noise or... EJ, what have you been listening to lately?
Oh...
Sorry, he was still looking at Chuck Norris pictures.
Done with that.
Yeah, you are now.
Go to Chris first. I'll take back with you on what I'm listening to currently because I haven't been listening to anything exclusively. It's tough for me to answer that question. I was going to look through my iTunes.
Okay, go ahead.
For just a second. Go, Chris.
I haven't actually been listening to any music lately. I've been listening to audiobooks.
Ooh.
Yeah, trying to get smarter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So,
what audiobooks have you been listening to?
You guys were waiting for me to say it, weren't you? Then when EJ I didn't, you had to ask.
Yeah.
I actually have been listening to Harry Potter.
Okay.
Jen's grandmother owns every Harry Potter book on CD.
Really?
And I got two of them from her. I got the fifth one and then... The last one, number seven. And I've been listening to number five, and it's really sad because I was like half asleep the other night, and the guy that reads it, his name is Jim Dale, and he is amazing. I don't know exactly what he does. He should do voiceover work if he doesn't.
Yeah.
But he literally reads the entire book, comes up with voices for every character, which they're like over 300 in all the books total. And it's amazing, but the other night I was kind of in that state between half awake and half asleep, and I was hearing his voice in my head, like just these random phrases he says in the Harry Potter books. So it's kind of creepy, but Dave, what have you been listening to?
Well, I've been listening to a lot of Al Green, quite frankly, being as I was doing that story for the periodical publication. I guess we're not saying its name, are we?
You can if you want.
Nah, I don't care.
Okay.
Listen to a lot of Al Green. Now I'm doing working on another story for a show coming up in October that the Jacob Fred Jazz Odyssey is putting on down in Norman also. Have you guys heard of them?
I have not.
No.
They are a jazz trio based out of Tulsa. It's one of the, in my opinion, one of the few Oklahoma bands or artists of note. I don't know. That's probably a whole new can of worms. But anyway, kind of an avant-garde a little bit out there, but also pretty funky and grooving at times. Been listening to a lot of them, working on that story. And in the car on the way over to EJ's, I was listening to the Meters. Funk, New Orleans funk.
Interesting.
EJ's still looking through his recent playlist on his iPod.
EJ?
I have been listening. I just got a new Amos Lee record, Supply and Demand. Very, very good. Amos Lee is kind of a very smooth vocals. He's a dude, Amos, of course. kind of an acoustic-y feel, kind of a folk. You gotta check him out, Amos Lee.
A lot of people call him the male Norah Jones, don't they?
Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just as good, except he actually writes his own music. Norah Jones, on the other hand, doesn't.
She writes some
doesn't?
Of
it. Doesn't?
She wrote one song on the big album. And it wasn't even a good song.
Man.
Yeah, she's just got a voice. That's all she does.
Great voice. And she can play piano.
I think she's written a lot of her more recent stuff.
I've listened to Diamonds on the Inside, Ben Harper.
Good album.
Gosh.
Ben Harper has a new album out, I think.
Yeah, I don't have it yet.
So does Norah.
Well, it just got Angels and Airwaves, which is the lead singer from Blink-182 in his new band. Kind of a different, still rock, still not quite punk. But a very distinguished voice from that previous band. Haven't gotten into him a lot, but I just bought that. Been rolling with the Charlie Hunter Trio.
Was that from me?
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Is it Charlie Hunter that plays the guitar bass module?
Yeah, it's like an 8-string guitar that he invented that has like 2 or 3 bass strings on there.
So he plays the bass notes while soloing his guitar over.
I think so. I've never seen a video of it.
So the trio has him on bass and guitar at the same time. Mm-hmm. And a, what, piano?
Drummer and a sax.
Oh, a drummer and a sax. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Wow.
A lot of times the way his guitar is, I guess the pedals or whatever effects he uses make it even sound like an organ.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
A quartet for the
Charlie
price of a trio.
Hunter Trio.
Yeah.
Say it again. Good.
Charlie Hunter Trio.
All right.
Oh, and Dave Matthews, Tim Reynolds' new live disc.
Is that good?
2-disc set. Yes, very good. Anytime those two get together, it's good. And that's about all the new stuff.
I just looked up Charlie Hunter. It says he's an American jazz and rock fusion guitarist.
That sounds about right.
There you go.
So just to kind of throw that in, throw what his genre is.
Kind of runs in the same circles as the Jacob Fred group.
All right, we good?
We're good.
Yeah. What else? Is that it?
That's it. I have to wrap this up.
All right, outro it, Chris.
This is EJ's band that he plays with on the drums. Hollow.
But first, we'd like to thank our sponsors, the Daily Oklahoman, a wonderful newspaper. Out of Oklahoma City.
Wonderful.
An unwilling spot.
Truthful.
Go pick you up a subscription to the Daily Oklahoman.
I'd like to thank Mike Gundy for sponsoring the show, and let's just hope if he hears this that he'll come to our support as much as he does his own kids.
Yes, say Gundy.
I did say Gundy.
Gundy.
Hey, Gundy. I'd like to thank Al Green for sponsoring the show and being on it without his knowledge.
Well, good.
All right, we got to go.
gotta go. Also, I'd like to thank Google. You are slowly taking over the world silently and making everybody feel good about it. So keep doing your thing.
That's pretty impressive.
I would also like to thank Anonymous Print Publications. You know who you are. And Moms Everywhere. Because us grown boys, we need our chicken.
Feed me.
This is My Doubt from Hollow. Make sure to check them out, myspace.com/hollowrock, and check out Dave's blog at thenewstandard.wordpress.com. Again, go to sawdrews.com for all the show notes. Thanks for listening to show number 5.
Bye-bye.
I gotta go, though.
I will not die in the darkness. show.